preach a cool message.
Just leave the door to the cooler.
Yeah. I know how we can. Kevin.
When you turn open those doors, will you make sure you turn that off?
I normally do. I forgot this morning. Kevin just had a great idea of how we just opened the door to the cooler.
Can you do it after the luau?
I like leaving the doors open and turning them
off. All right, Romans 5.
Oh, Lordy, 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 Lordy.
Hey, Romans 5, verse 6. Bloom sent me something about... There was this panel discussion with people like Jane Fonda. And it was questioning about the existence of God. And the one thing that nobody could answer was the cliche now is, why do bad things happen to good people? First of all, can anybody see at least two errors in that question? But the reason is this what we've been studying, that we glory in affliction also, knowing that affliction worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And that's why we don't have a quote-unquote Garden of Eden existence. In fact, the scriptures are clear. To anyone that believes in him, your life will be filled with suffering. The secret of it is to not see the suffering as suffering, so you glory in tribulation. But as long as you give breath to the suffering, which sometimes is very hard not to do, then you're plagued. Someone once said that the greatest suffering is the doubt in one who wants to believe. And I don't think I've had that experience, so I can't testify of it. But anyway.
I want to say one thing. We were talking on the way back, and this fits in everything we talk about, but the scripture about the fields are white unto harvest just blew my mind this morning, because I see what that means. I never understood it before.
It's famous.
I always saw that in terms of people who go out on missionary trips to preach their message, not even close. And the famine in the land tied with it, it's just, there is a famine in the land, famine of the Word of God, because it's not preached. What's preached is...
Well, the fields are white unto harvest means it's finished.
But nobody knows that. And they think there's still stuff to do.
I had this two-hour discussion yesterday with Bruce Fogarty, and he about this very issue, about left to do. And so I don't know if anybody saw it, but he sent Harry... He'd found in the trash Ole's to-do list. Ole's to-do list. Because I told him, I have no idea what's going to happen next. I don't know. So he fabricated a to-do list that he found in our trash. Anyway. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed, or flooded, is what it says, abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Almost all the time when the word for is used, it's the Greek word hooper. And it means, it meant for at the time King James, but now it means instead of. Christ died instead of the ungodly. And the critical issue here, as I think I mentioned yesterday, is that you cannot come to him until you are at a point where you are without strength. If you have enough strength to make a decision for Christ, you will automatically choose the instead of Christ. And that is a huge deal. So in due time, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Remember, ungodly is asebius, which means wrong thinking. Any time that you are the subject of your sins, you are yours, then you are ungodly because you've made something other than God the subject of your sentence. And this will revolutionize your thinking if you can do it. All right. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died instead of us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, and again, this is the word that means an enemy of such intensity that one of you has to die. Until this is seen, then you'll always think that God is helping you. You won't understand death. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If you never remember another scripture, you're reconciled by his death, but you're saved by his life. Now, what does that mean? How can you be saved by his life? It certainly doesn't mean a one-time conversion experience. It means that you live by the faith of, and if he isn't in you, then you will die. Even if you say, oh, I believe in him. Everybody understand that? I mean, this is one of the most important scriptures in the Bible. For if we were, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death, the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Every time I read this, it blows me away. How quickly we forget that it's his life that saves us. All right. Wherefore, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, again, it doesn't say death is going to happen to all men. It says death. Past tense, to all men. It's. I remember the first time I talked about this, many, many moons ago, when I said that the human race died at the cross. No one believed me. Do you believe me yet? Well, then what's all of this stuff happening? What's all this stuff that's going on with me? I mean, we've talked about this many times, but just think back on your life and see how you have created yourself. You've took a little piece of this and a little piece of that. And you got this kind of education over here. And you took this role model and then that role model. And you created this being that you call you. And it's a non-existent being. It's a puff of smoke. And yet, that's all you're concerned with. Do you really understand that? Anybody not understand it? That's why the legend of the golem is so important in ancient Israel. A rabbi molded clay together. And he said so-called magic words and the golem appeared. The golem gate was given life by these magic words. Well, that's each one of us. I hope you understand that. I remember many responses of yours to this.
Well, I'm begging the question, what is it all about? Where the only place I could go is all this is to prove, try, test, and bring forth his life, saying clearly so that the bride can be. Otherwise, what's the value or purpose of even being here?
What's my purpose in life? Why was I born?
What's God's will for me?
And those are nice, sincere questions, but you don't want to hear the answer.
Answer's not nice.
Let's look at, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start in verse 3:14. It's talking about, but unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. What is the veil? The veil is your identity. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face means total and complete transparency and vulnerability. No hidden agendas. No secret life.
No deceptions.
No deception. With open face, without apology. With open face, beholding as in a glass. Now, for your whole life, you've beheld as in a glass, i.e. a mirror, because everything that took place in life, your response is, what does this mean to me? How can I use this? But now, since all of that is caused by your own attempts at redemption, and it's the silver on the back of the glass so that all you see is your reflected image, and at conversion, then the silver is taken away from the glass because you're not trying to redeem yourself anymore. And that's all that makes a mirror. A mirror is silver nitrate on the back of the glass or some kind of silver compound. Now, wherever you look, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, instead of what am I going to do about this and who's going to take care of me when and we behold as open, with open faces in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed, or metamorpho is the word, into that same image. From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of God. Now you won't see it this way. You'll think, oh my God, and to quote Harry, the small, large print giveth, the small print taketh away. So you'll begin to expect this, the negation instead of the glory. Now, the same exact event takes place to your mind. It's woe. To the Spirit of God, it's glory to glory. The predicate of it is with open face. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Or that word, by the way, metamorpho, or changed here, it's only used 4 times in all of the Scripture. It was used regarding Christ's transfiguration. It's used here, and it's used in Romans 12, where it says, let me read it real quick. You stay there. You can trust me. I'm going to read it. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be ye metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. How is your mind renewed? It's renewed by the total and complete emptying of self.
What verse is that?
Romans 12:2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry? Our ministry is to behold with open face. No matter what it is we're doing, no matter where we are, it doesn't matter. There's no ranking of things. Therefore, seeing as we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You don't quit in your mind. Faint means to quit in your mind. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What you see is what you get. There's no hidden agendas. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And what is the blinding? It's, again, your own attempts at redemption. And they're endless. So you can't see. The God of this... If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now this next part is what tying into what affliction and purpose of suffering and all that. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And again, in Greek, it's in broken earthen vessels. We have this treasure in vessels made of earth, broken vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. If you're not in this position, something weird is happening to you. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. I mean, not perplexed. We have trouble on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Well, I thought I had to die to myself. You're already dead. The tell as to whether or not you've allowed the evil one to be resurrected in the temple of God is when you haven't forgiven someone, when you judge somebody down, all of the things we've talked about. When you start planning. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death, that the life also, where are we? For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. We're delivered unto death, this makes it sound like we're doing something for Jesus' sake. We're delivered unto death because that's what he was delivered unto death. As he is in the world, so are we. This has nothing to do with your, I'm going to go be a martyr or something. You just be. What happens to you is not your business. You've been bought with a price. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. You cannot preach this gospel unless you see, the people see death working in you. You cannot preach this gospel when you're telling everybody what God can do for you. You cannot preach this gospel when you give your quote-unquote testimony that I used to be bad, no, but now, We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You don't speak because somebody tells you to speak or somebody tells you to go make converts. I promise you, if it's real, you will do everything in your power not to speak. Won't we, John? I once told John that he was supposed to have a Bible study, and he almost left the block.
He's not laughing.
He's smiling. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. If you don't believe, you won't speak. You'll come up with some tinkling brass? Or and if you speak, you can have no investment in it. In other words, it's not your business. I'll never forget. When we first started, when I finally agreed after many years to preach or to talk, I used to love to talk on radio because I just, throw out little hand grenades out in the audience and then just go back to my apartment. But when I finally started, most of the time, nobody came. But I had set a time every Tuesday night. Sometimes the only one that came was Pete, and he drove 60 miles from Sherman to come. Try to have that tested. Yeah, I'm supposed to speak, but nobody comes.
I can do your address.
What?
Nobody knew your address. You were hidden over in the Turtle Creek. This thing about death working in you, so tied to speaking, because there's the religious man trying to come up with something to speak so that he can fulfill the commandment, so to speak, in his mind. But the death part prevents that.
Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, or in Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes. Now, you got to hear this. Everything that's going on in the world is for your sake, that you might see the mystery. Everything that went on in history is for your sake, that you might see the mystery. Everything that happened in this book, everything that happened to Israel, it says, is for your sake, that you might see. That's an incredible statement. All things are for your sakes. It says, Paul says, you own all things. You've been perfected by one offering. You're at the highest point in the food chain. You can't get any higher. So how often do we despise that mystery? That's why the Lord's Prayer says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We do not hallow his name every time we see something wrong. Every time we complain, every time we have a gripe against something, we stop hallowing his name. Every time we wish things were different, we've stopped hallowing his name. Does that understand that a little bit? For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Make no judgments, make no calculations based on what you see, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen? Anybody have any response? I almost stopped in time.
What does it mean that if I believe, therefore have I spoken?
I believe, therefore I speak.
But what do I speak about? The word of God and tell everybody how great Jesus is and get saved?
It's not your business what you speak. It's your business to believe.
Yeah, but what does it mean? Speak. I mean, what does he want you to speak?
We gotta touch it. Go to Jeremiah 20.
Yeah. I just need some backup here.
What?
Well, there's always backup.
All right. Jeremiah 20. And this one I can personally relate to. Verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoiling, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But the word of the Lord was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not help myself. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me, a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Now, you got to remember that Jeremiah, he spoke these incredible words in this book during the time that Israel was flourishing. The temple was beautiful. Everything was successful. And he spoke these words of we'll go to Jeremiah 1. No, never mind. We go to, I think it's 6, but well, if you just read a few chapters, I don't want to, we're out of time, but he only spoke of the coming destruction. It's like Noah. It had never rained before, and yet he said there was a great flood coming. It was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. You don't have to worry about what you'll speak. I mean, it's never your business. What expression, how that will be expressed through you is not your business. You're not your own.
Yeah, I think what we want to do is we want to speak, but we want what we say to be cool, insightful, spiritual, poignant, and then we'll speak because it'll make us look
cool. Glorify ourselves.
Glorify ourselves rather than saying the dumbass things that we are really going on.
Well, I just ask that now because I want to go out and spread the 4 spiritual laws to all the poor people in South Dallas. A lot of my friends do. And so they want me to pay for the pamphlets that they're going to give out. And I just wonder if it's not good news.
You might as well pay for their toilet paper.
Are there jets?
Probably
better. They can spread the word across the world.
Take it, big guy. I got a card from that Murray, the guy that